ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ऐ आल्सो रेकमेंड नॉट ओनली फॉर अस आल्सो फॉर अदर पीपल इवन पीपल हू आर लिविंग इन चाइना आल्सो हूएवर इज अफेक्टेड बाय दिस आदि दैविक ताप आदि भौतिक ताप एंड ऑलवेज स्पेसिफिकली डू नामत्रय जप। ओम अच्युताय नमः ओम अनंताय नमः ओम गोविंदाय नमः। I request all of you to do this nama, I think, and also invoke the grace of Surya Bhagavan is the samashti sukshma prana repository Surya Bhagavan. They will also invoke, chant Surya our Gayatri, not Gayatri, Surya Aditya Hriday Stotram. You can chant every day if you have time. People who have a lot of time, please do chant it. It's good for eyes, good for the mind, good for health. Also, sankalpa will be for the whole world also. Just a small thing what we can do for the world is have sankalpa for the whole world and do it. It's good for you, good for the world. And Gayatri mantra also can chant, but Gayatri must be chanted correctly. It's better to chant Aditya Hridayam. Now we'll come to our class. So we saw last class the important, a very beautiful mantra which is also found in Kathopanishad. There is Natatra Suryo Bhati. That verse again reveals our understanding of the definition of light. What is light? Light is that which illumines, that which lights up. That which brings an object into light is light. So anything which is capable of bringing another object into light must be self-luminous, must be revealing itself. An object which cannot reveal itself, which cannot come to light by itself, cannot bring another object into light. That is why opaque object can never bring something else to light, into light, because it is dependent on other light. So that way if you see, we think the world, the whole jagat, we take it as Bhagavan. And there are externally three sources of light. Sun, moon and fire are three sources of light. And then which three sources of light are looked upon as the three eyes of the Virat Purusha Bhagavan. That's why Bhagavan is called Tryambakaha, Trinetraha, Trinayanaha. Now, three are very well known. You include even lightning, include even anything else, any source of light is only a light. Light means that which lights up. Only from the standpoint of the opaque things you can call them lights. Because they themselves are not light. They themselves need another light to come into light. That is why the so-called sources of light which are said to be the lights of the opaque things which illuminate external world of opaque things themselves are dependent on another light in the form of seeing power to come to light. That's why, because the light also is illumined by another light which is the light of the seeing power. Therefore, your light, seeing power also is a light from the standpoint of the light which is dependent on the seeing power to come to light. That is why for a blind person, there's no sunlight, there's no fire for him. Only heat he can understand. A blind person cannot understand the light of the sun, the light aspect of the sun. Therefore, the seeing power is the light. How seeing power is the light which illumines, the brings to light. By bringing to light means even lending existence. An object unillumined, unrevealed, becomes unknown. As an unknown object, it is as good as non-existent. So being illumined means being brought to light means enjoying existence. Having the status of being existent, very important. So illumining also simultaneously lending existence. That way, not only you're seeing power, each and every sense power is a light which brings to light, which lends existence to this corresponding object. For the sound, your hearing power is the light. For the smell, your power of smelling is the light. For the taste, your power of taste in the tongue is the light. Each and every sense power is the light which lights up its corresponding object. And all these sense powers, that's why sense powers also are known as Devaha. This I explained when I did Drikdrishya Vekam, Drikdrishya text of Vidyaranya Swami. I said Pancha Devaha. And even these five so-called lights are also lights. They have the status of being the lights because they illumine the corresponding objects. The seeing power illumines the light which lights up the opaque things. And even this light also, sense powers can be called lights only from the standpoint of the external world of objects. But even these sense powers themselves are dependent on another light to come to light. That is why they also shine after Anubhati, another light called the light of mind. Because if the attention of the mind does not back up the sense organs, the sense organs will be non-functional. They cannot be involved in their own function. The function of seeing, function of hearing, function of smelling, function of tasting, etc. That function, those functions are possible because they're backed up by the conscious mind. That's why from the standpoint of the sense organs, they say they are not, they themselves need another light to come to light. That is why mind is the light of the lights of sense organs. With Devanam Devaha, the light of the lights, Jyotisham Jyotihi is the mind. And again, this mind, which is the Jyotisham Jyotihi, light of the lights is the mind. And the mind also by itself doesn't, but mind also needs to come to light. Mind is dependent on some other light to come to light, to become the known, to have the status of being existent. So mind itself is dependent on another light to come to light, but very existence. Then to become conscious, then to become sentient, then thereby to have the status of being the illuminator of sense organs, and through sense organs to be the illuminator of the external world. The mind also is dependent on other light. So mind also anubhati. What is said to be bhati shines from the standpoint of another object. It becomes anubhati in the standpoint of other light. So the external, the sun, moon, etc., they seem to be light from the standpoint of opaque things, but they become the, they also objects of illumination in the standpoint of sense organs. The sense organs are objects of illumination, the standpoint of the mind. And this mind also does not have independent existence. It is dependent on the way another light for its existence to come to light, thereby to enjoy existence, to become conscious and sentient, to be capable of illumining the rest of the world, rest of the sense organs, and through sense organs to illumine the world. Mind also is dependent on another light. And what is that light? That is the light. Actually, light is in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. In fact, the absolute reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which is of the nature of consciousness, which is of the nature of awareness, is, which is implied by the term Atma, which is the actual content, the truth of I, which is the meaning of the word I, which should be identified as the I. And that reality, the obtaining as the essential, innermost essence of every being, it is the reality implied with the term Atma, Par Brahma, is the Par Jyotisham Jyotihi, Paran Jyotihi. So sense organs are lights, Jyotihi, Jyotish, Jyotishaha, and Jyotisham Jyotihi is mind, and Jyotisham Jyotisha, Jyotisham Jyotihi mind, and the light of that Jyotisham Jyotihi is Paranjyotihi, is consciousness. So light of the lights and the light of the lights is Paranjyotihi, consciousness. That's why Devaha, Devaha, Devadevaha, Mahadevaha. Mahadevaha is Paranjyotihi here, which is the truth of the whole Jagat and which is obtaining as the innermost essence of every individual, as the truth of I, as yourself. And only depending upon that light of consciousness alone, because of the light of consciousness alone, everything shines here. That's why the mantra says, na tatra suryo bhati, na chandra tarakam. Suryaha na bhati, chandraha na bhati, tarakam na bhati, imaha vidyutaha na bhanti. All these sources of light, which you think they shine, they do not shine on their own. They all shine after that light. So, natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kutaha ayam agnihi. How is this fire which you think is going to illumine and anything else? The fire itself as a source of light is dependent on seeing power. Seeing power is dependent on mind. Mind is dependent on consciousness, ultimately the Atma. Therefore, how is this fire going to illumine anything? That is the mantra we chant when we are doing the camphor light to Bhagavan. So, tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam, sarvam anubhati. Everything here shines after that light. Which light? Tameva bhantam, the light which is always self-effulgent light, self-shining light, self-revealing light, self-evident, self-effulgent, self-revealing is the only light is what? Is light of consciousness. Therefore, tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. Everything here shines after that light of consciousness, obtaining as the innermost essence of every individual as one's own self. You are that light. You are that light. Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. So, idam sarvam tasya bhasa vibhati. Idam sarvam means what? The third person singular pronoun idam indicates the whole objective universe, entire matter. The matter, if you reduce everything into two things, reality and non-reality, the non-reality is mithya, reality is satyam. Non-reality is that which is of the nature of inertness. And that which is of the nature of consciousness is reality. And here this morning also I said this in the class, my Taittiriya class, the idam sarvam, the one pronoun idam, amazing pronoun, which indicates the entire objective universe other than the first person singular pronoun. So what is indicated? What is implied by first person singular pronoun? Other than that, everything else is idam. Except one thing which is implied with it, which is the meaning of the word I, the rest of the world, rest of the objective universe, everything other than what is implied by the word I, everything else is meant by the word idam. Idam sarvam, this entire objective universe, which is inclusive of your body mentions complex, shines after that light. Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. Tasya bhasa idam sarvam vibhati. Everything shines after that light of consciousness implied with the term Atma, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, as the truth of an individual, as yourself. So that was we saw last class, and I know it was a lot of breaking last class, and now let me move on to the next verse. Therefore, once that becomes very clear, now we move on to the next mantra. I request all of you to memorize these verses. Now, I am very old. You're all old. Don't forget. Let us not waste time. And our class is a very special class of mature individuals. We've been together for many years now. Now, high time we memorize all these mantras. Okay? So that the chanting of mantra should remind you of the meaning. That is how you can, now all your effort must be just to be yourself. All the efforts must be reduced to just to be yourself, which is moksha. Okay? Now, Brahmai Vedam Amrutam. Brahmai Vedam Amrutam. I'm reading twice, I assume that you're reading after me. Brahmai Vedam Amrutam. Brahmai Vedam Amrutam. పురస్తాద్ బ్రహ్మ, బ్యూటిఫుల్ వర్స్. పురస్తాద్ బ్రహ్మ పశ్చాద్ బ్రహ్మ, పురస్తాద్ బ్రహ్మ పశ్చాద్ బ్రహ్మ, దక్షిణతశ్చోత్తరేణ దక్షిణతశ్చోత్తరేణ దక్షిణతశ్చోత్తరేణ, అధశ్చోర్ధ్వంచ 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 ప్రసృతం, అధశ్చోర్ధ్వంచ ప్రసృతం బ్రహ్మైవేదం బ్రహ్మైవేదం విశ్వమిదం వరిష్టం విశ్వమిదం వరిష్టం విశ్వమిదం వరిష్టం. యు నో, అమేజింగ్ మంత్ర, బ్యూటిఫుల్ మంత్ర. సో దేర్ ఫోర్ వాట్ ఇస్ ఇట్ నౌ? ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ షైన్స్ అప్, యూ హ్యావ్ టు డెవలప్ ద మీనింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ దేర్. ఇఫ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ హియర్, ది ఎంటైర్ ఆబ్జెక్టివ్ యూనివర్స్ ఇన్క్లూడింగ్ వన్స్ బాడీ మైండ్స్ కాంప్లెక్స్, వాట్ ఎవర్ ఈస్ హియర్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎంజాయ్స్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ only in the light of consciousness, just as in the presence of the light, in the presence of the external, the light of sun, the world of opaque things enjoys its existence, which means sun, surya bhagavan, by its mere presence without doing any action, by its very nature, by its very swarupam, brings the entire world of opaque things to light. By bringing the opaque things to light, by way of bringing them into light, Surya Bhagavan lends existence. So the entire world of opaque things enjoys existence, enjoys the status of being existent only because of the blessing of Surya Bhagavan. Similarly here, we have to extend the same thing to is only because of the light of consciousness. The absolute abstract reality, which is of the nature of being conscious, being aware, of the nature of knowing, therefore implied by the term consciousness or knowledge, that reality which is implied by the term Atma, it is that reality by its mere presence, sannidhi matrena, not by moving an inch, not by doing any action, not by any effort, by its mere presence, by its very nature of knowing, it knows the whole objective universe. By way of knowing, it illumines the whole world. By way of illumining, it lends the existence to the whole world. Therefore, the entire objective universe shines in the presence of the light of consciousness. Mind, but for the presence, the existence of the light of consciousness, the entire objective universe would have become as good as non-existent. The whole world of material, the entire objective universe of material, inert material objects, enjoys this status of the existent, enjoys its existence being known, being lent existence, being illumined by the light of consciousness. Only in the presence of light of consciousness, the entire material, inert material world shines, enjoys its existence. Therefore, because the entire objective universe does not have independent existence of its own, even though consciousness is completely different from the material world, you can reduce the whole material world into one word as of matter. But still, matter is different from consciousness. Consciousness is different from matter. Nothing to do with each other. But still, that's why consciousness can be said to be the reality. Matter can be said to be the non-reality. So non-reality is not non-existent. Non-reality is that which is as good as non-existent. Why? Because it is not the reality. Why it is not the reality? It is not the reality because it does not have independent existence of its own. So what is it now? it is mithya. Mithya means what? That which is neither real. It is, we cannot negate it as a non-existent, nor can you negate it as existent by itself. That which is dependent on something else for its existence is mithya. And here, the non-reality, the entire objective universe reduced to one word, matter, is not countable as another second reality, not countable as a parallel reality. Why? Because it doesn't have independent existence. Because it always depends upon the consciousness for its existence, we can say the entire material world is what? Is a manifestation of knowledge. How the opaque thing which shines in the presence of the light reflects the light to come to light. Therefore, the opaque thing which is a reflecting medium of the light is looked upon as the reflection of the light. The reflecting medium of the light, the opaque thing, is the reflection of the light. Similarly here, the entire material universe, which is a manifesting medium of consciousness, is actually the manifestation of consciousness. Why? The world is manifest means the world shines. World is available for perception, enjoyment, experience, interaction. Only then, that's why you call it manifest. And that is possible only when it shines. For it to shine, it has to be known. For it to become the known, there must be knower, and the knower of this universe is consciousness. Therefore, we say the entire universe shines only in the light of consciousness. It doesn't have independent existence at all outside. Therefore, it cannot be counted as a parallel reality. But that's why the special word is used, mithya. In fact, we only say what is there is only satyam and mithya, and mithya can be resolved in satyam as sisar. There's no mithya. What is only satyam? Satyam alone is in the form of mithya. We look at the satyam as the cause, mithya as the effect. Why do you say satyam is cause, mithya is the effect? Because mithya is dependent on satyam for its existence. Therefore, we look at it as though there's a karnakari sambandha. Then later on you say there's no karnakari sambandha, there's no karnam, there's no karyam. You resolve mithya in satyam. Mithya is satyam, satyam is not mithya. So consciousness is the entire objective universe. Objective universe is not consciousness. Sorry. A consciousness is not the objective universe, but the objective universe is nothing but manifestation of consciousness only. Therefore, you say you have resolved the entire material world in consciousness. You resolve the knower, I the knower am consciousness. Not only I the knower am consciousness, even the knowledge of everything is consciousness. The known universe also is consciousness. You are resolving knower, known, knowledge, triputi, bheda in consciousness. Consciousness is free from this knower, known, knowledge difference. Triputi bheda, threefold difference. And this knower is consciousness. There's no knower. There's no knower other than consciousness. There's no knowledge outside of consciousness. There cannot be any known which enjoys existence outside of consciousness. Therefore, the knower is Brahma. Known is Brahma. Knowledge is Brahma. All that is here is only the reality which is of the nature of consciousness implied by the term Brahma. Therefore, this mantra says beautifully, Brahmaivedam Amrutam. Brahmayeva idam. Idam means this objective universe. Idam is a third person singular pronoun. Idam, one word, indicates the entire inert material objective universe. Except pure consciousness, everything else is object of consciousness. Therefore, the subtle, you can say the grossest material world, the entire gross manifestation experienced in the waking state, the subtle universe, the all subtle manifestation, much subtler manifestation, the thoughts, the mind, the intellect, even the ignorance, total ignorance, which you experience in the deep sleep state, that is also the subtlest form of matter. You have to say anything known, anything experienced, anything object of knowledge is of the nature of inertness. Anything which is of the nature of inertness is matter. Therefore, even you can see the total ignorance, which is an object of knowledge, is available for experience in the deep sleep state, is also subtlest form of matter. You can read the entire matter, and that knower of that matter alone is pure consciousness, and which is impaired by the term Atma or Brahma. Therefore, the entire objective, inert, material universe of elements and elemental model is nothing but manifestation of consciousness. There is no matter other than consciousness. The matter is consciousness, but consciousness is not matter. Consciousness is distinct from matter, but not distant from matter, because the whole matter is consciousness. That is what is said here. Brahma vedam amritam brahma eva idam. Come on, this entire universe is Brahman alone. That eva is very important. Brahman alone is in the form of this objective universe. Everything here. There is nothing else is left behind now. Brahma eva idam. That eva means Brahman alone is in the form of this entire objective universe. And which Brahma? Amritam. The timeless, eternal, immortal, endless, the timeless reality, everlasting, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, everlasting reality, which is not subject to time, is the implied by the term Brahma alone is in the form of this universe. Amritam. Brahma Amritam Eva Idam. And this universe, that means what? Everything is Brahma means, how can I talk about Brahman is the existence? The consciousness is existence. Existence is in the form of the universe. Consciousness, existence is in the form of the universe means there's no world other than consciousness existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness. The word Amritam implies the reality being free from all limitations. Therefore, everything is Brahma means we have to also understand Brahma eva idam amritam. Brahma eva idam amritam. Therefore, the mantra is so poetic. Purastad Brahma. Purastad. In front. What is in front of me is Brahma. Aham Brahma. Idam Brahma. Now comes the exact, like just simply expression of the vision of the fullness is what? Purastat is an indeclinable word, which means in the front. Purastat Brahma. What is in the front is Brahma. Paschat Brahma. What is in the back is Brahma. Dakshinataha Brahma. Whatever is to the right of right, to my right is Brahma. Cha Uttarena. Whatever is to the left is also Brahma. Just to say, the one word is again further simply commented upon, elaborated by the rest of the words. Brahmaivedam Amritam. That line is further is said, what is there in the front is Brahma. What is there at the back is Brahma. What is there to the right is Brahma. What is there to the left side also is Brahma. Dakshinataha Brahma. Uttarataha Brahma. Purastad Brahma. Paschad Brahma. All four directions are mentioned. Now, above, adhaha cha, urdhvam cha, prasrutam. It is that Brahma eva, Brahman alone is absolute reality, obtaining name of consciousness, existence alone. Adaha, below, urdhvam, above. Prasrutam spread in and through everywhere, above and below, spread, pervaded, pervading everything. Brahman alone is here. Therefore, idam vishwam idam varishtam. Therefore, this universe is what? This universe is varishtam. This universe is varishtam, the greatest, the most exalted, greatest. Why? Because the entire universe is Brahman only. And this is called vision of non-duality. You do not say second thing. In fact, Pujya Swamiji used to say this expression. Brahma has engulfed the whole Jagat. Brahman has devoured the whole Jagat. It's a cognitive devouring. Intellectual devouring. Parambarul உலகையே முழுங்கி, உலகை முழுங்கி, உன்னை முழுங்கி, நோ டிவர் ஆஃப் எவ்ரி திங் இஸ் பகவான் பரம்பிரம்ம ஹியர் இஸ் அ பியூட்டிஃபுல் வேர்ஸ். யூ கேன் மெமரைஸ் திஸ் வேர்ஸ் ஆல்வேஸ், வெரி நைஸ் வேர்ஸ் ஃபார் கான்டெம்ப்ளேஷன். ஆல் தீஸ் வேர்ஸ் ஆர் பியூட்டிஃபுல் வேர்சஸ். பிரம்மை வேதம் அமிர்தம் புரஸ்தாத் பிரம்ம பஷாத் பிரம்ம தட்சிணத்தோத்தரேண அதச்சோர்த்வம் ச ப்ரஸ்ருதம் ப்ரஹ்மை வேதம் விஸ்வமிதம் வரிஷ்டம். ப்ரஹ்மைவேவ விஸ்வமிதம் வரிஷ்டம். ஒன் மோர் வேர்ட் இஸ் யூஸ் தர் விஸ்வம் இதம். வை அகெய்ன் இதம் 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 இட் செல்ஃப் மீன்ஸ் யூனிவர்ஸ். வை அகெய்ன் விஸ்வம்? பிகாஸ் த வெரி வேர்ட் விஸ்வம் மீன்ஸ் What is the which is implied, meant by the word idam, the third person singular pronoun this. This universe means, what is this universe? Vishwam. Why the Vishwam, even though is meant by one word, it is actually innumerable, countless forms constitute this universe. Innumerable, countless gross forms, subtle forms, subtler forms, subtlest forms. Therefore, the perceptible, imperceptible, innumerable, countless objects and indicated by innumerable, countless words and associated with innumerable, countless functions and purposes. And therefore, this universe is vividhaihi pratyayaihi gamyam vishwam. That which is the constituted of innumerable countless forms, indicated by innumerable countless words, associated with innumerable countless functions, is called Vishwam. This universe of plurality, the universe of duality, the knower known duality, this universe of plurality, this universe of multiplicity, the universe of diversity, is resolved as mithya in non-dual reality. That is why unity in diversity. So dvaitam is mithya, bahutvam is mithya, advaitam is satyam. That is also is implied here in this verse. So we will move on to the next mantra. Therefore, when you say everything is Brahma, already you have resolved your identity in Brahma as Aham Brahma Asmi. Now you say the Jagat also is Brahma. Therefore, you have to say, I self am Brahma. Therefore, everything is Brahma. Therefore, I self am the whole. Aham Idam Sarvam Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. சர்வம் கல்விதம் பிரம்ம. தேர்ஃபோர் அகம் பிரம்ம, அகம் இதம் சர்வம் பிரம்ம, அகம் இதம் சர்வம் பிரம்ம. நவ் வி ஹவ் கம்ப்ளீட்டட் திஸ் பியூட்டிஃபுல் செக்ஷன் ஆஃப் முண்டக உபநிஷத். ஐ டெல் யூ, பூஜ்ய சுவாமிஜி வாஸ் இன் ஹிஸ் ஃபுல். If he was just himself when he was doing these mantras, please read the books you have and see the unfoldment. and definitely it be contemplation for all of you. Please read up. If you have any doubts, and please also ask me. You will not have any doubts. If at all you have any doubts, please ask me. And see, you are memorizing every mantra and seeing the word meaning, explanation. You must be thorough with it because you have got the notes like books now. Next. Now, the third section. Now, the third Mundakam begins. You know that there are three parts of Mundaka Upanishad. We have completed two parts. We are entering into the third part of Mundakam. Just Tritiya Mundakam. The first section, first mantra begins now. Here, it's a very beautiful mantra here. It begins with a very beautiful mantra. Here, Upanishad presents an analogy here. It looks, there's a tree. And there's a tree, and in the tree symbolizes samsara. Samsara vrikshaha. In the tree, there are two birds. One bird stands for Paramatma, Brahma. Another bird stands for Jivatma, Jiva Brahma. Anyway, essentially, Jiva and Brahma are one and the same. That's what we've been understanding. Even though essentially one, the individual self, the absolute reality alone is manifest as knowledge of the self-existence in terms of I am, in the form of thought in every mind. So in every mind, there is knowledge in the form of a thought in every moment, in every human mind. Don't ask me that, okay? The special buddhihi, no? Aham buddhihi means what? The self-consciousness. The knowledge of self-existence, self-consciousness is specific, especially the buddhi. And this buddhihi is not there in any other animal, any other living creature. That is why it is buddhi which is distinguishes the human being, makes the human being exalted. And that buddhihi is there. Actually, knowledge of self-existence, knowledge of existence of one's own self, is also in the form of the thought, which is the first and the foremost of thoughts in the very antahkaranam, and which is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge, the reality. Therefore, and that I sense actually is there as part of the individual manifestation of knowledge. And that knowledge, which obtaining in the form of a thought, its essence, even though it forms part of the many aspects which constitute the individual, but it is distinct from rest of the aspects which constitute the individual. So when you say human being, is not just the essence. Essence alone does not make a human being, but there's no human being without the essence. What is essence? The knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am. That I am is possible because there's I first. This is why I always put together as I am. And this knowledge, without this knowledge, there's no individual human being. But this knowledge alone does not make a human being. The human being is the most exalted of all the living creatures, endowed with this amazing self-consciousness in him of thought. But still, the physical body is there like any other human being, any other animal, any other living creature. There are also, interior to the physical body, there are subtle aspects which constitute a subtle body, which subtle body alone actually is later on divided into three layers of personality also. As pranamayaha, manomayaha, vijnanamayaha. There is a pranamaya, there's a physiological functions, and there are powers of organs of actions, there is sense organs, there's a mind consisting of innumerable, many thoughts which constitute the mind in terms of emotions, and there's a buddhihi, which is knowledge, where there's knowledge of many things, ignorance of many things also. That buddhi is also there. And apart from that buddhi, there is also avidya, total ignorance. The total ignorance is what? The knowledge of ignorance of what I am is ignorance. And his ignorance also is there. That's also a subtle matter. In fact, the ignorance also is subtle matter. How can you say ignorance is subtle matter? Because ignorance is also object of knowledge. Anything which is an object of knowledge is of the nature of inertness is matter. That's how we have to understand matter, subtlest matter. Therefore, when you look at everything here, all these things, that ignorance is said to be karna shariram, and there's a sukshma shariram, there's a sthula shariram. All these three bodies divided into five layers of personality as annamayha, panamayha, manomayha, vijnanamayha, anandamayha. All of them together with this manifestation of knowledge in terms of I am. There's also the source of manifestation of knowledge, which is implied with the term Atma, the consciousness. All these aspects constitute an individual. But still, what happens? The I sense is identified with all of them. Therefore, this I sense, which is distinct from all these aspects which constitute the individual, is unfortunately is identified, naturally identified with all these aspects, which is called adhyasaha. And because of this identity, this manifestation of consciousness, obtaining of thought in terms of I am, because of this identity, there's a jiva status. Jivaha means what? The individuality is purely because of the association with the rest of the aspects. So the same manifestation of consciousness identified with the rest of the physical material aspects is said to be jivaha. And this one bird represents the jiva. Another bird represents the paramatma, the source of knowledge. The pure consciousness, pure knowledge is paramatma. And the manifestation of consciousness in terms of I am identified with the rest of the aspects, which is said to be the jiva, will be another bird. Actually, the manifestation of consciousness should be identified with the source, its source. So what is jiva? Jiva is consciousness. What is paramatma? Jivatma is consciousness. Paramatma is also consciousness. Now why two different names? Two different names of because of the association, because of the identity. The same one and the only consciousness, indivisible, undivided, partless, whole consciousness, which is of the nature of limitlessness, therefore implied by the term Brahma and Atma, is said to be Paramatma, where it's identified, associated with the total cosmos. The same consciousness associated with the individual body, mind, and complex gets given the title Jivaha. So Jivaha, Jivatma and Paramatma, or Jivaha and Ishwaraha are two different qualifications attributed to the one and the only reality because of this association with the Upadhi. Upadhi Bedaha. Upadhi, so for Ishwara Upadhi is the whole Jagat. Samashti, Sthula Prapanchaha, Sukshma Prapanchaha, Karna Prapanchaha are the causal universe, subtle manifestation, gross manifestation is Upadhi for Ishwara. The individual body mentions complex, the causal body, subtle body, gross body is the Upadhi for the Jiva. So who is Jiva? There's no Jiva, there's no Ishwara. Two different names, qualifications attributed to the one and the only reality in keeping with its the Upadhi Bheda. Because a difference in Upadhis. So here, Upadhi Jiva and Ishwara. So this one bird represents the Jivatma, another bird represents the Paramatma. So here, then there is a Vrikshaha. And it seems, I just give you prepare you for the verse, then I'll tell you what it is. This Jiva bird, the bird which represents the Jivatma, sitting on the tree, it started eating the fruits of the tree. The fruits of the tree represent one's own punya papa phalani. The fruits of the trees represent the unexhausted results of the desirable, undesirable results of the right and wrong actions performed unknowingly or knowingly in previous janmas. The fruits, Jivatma is enjoying eating the fruits. And Paramatma bird sitting there just watching this Jiva bird eating the fruits. Paramatma bird is very smart. It's not eating anything. Paramatma bird is sitting there watching like the witness. Paramatma bird not eating, simply sitting there. But it is watching this bird eating the fruits. This is how Upanishad's mantra presents. Now we are going to see the verse. I need really more time to explain this. And let us see the mantra today. I will continue. I have prepared you for this mantra. I'll continue the next class. Dvau suparna sayuja sakhaya. Dvau suparna sayuja sakhaya. Sakhaya, oh, it must be, isn't it? Dvau suparna sayuja sakhaya. Samanam vriksham parishasva jate. Samanam vriksham parishasva jate. Dvau suparna sayuja sakhaya. Samanam vriksham parishasva jate. Tayoranyav pippalam svadvatti. Anashtananyo abhichakashiti. I tell you, see, tayoho, there are two birds. Two birds of beautiful wings, supernau. Dvau, two, supernau. Two birds of beautiful wings. And sakhayo, they are like friends. Because they're inseparable, like friends. But where are they seat? They where are they here now? Here. Samanam vriksham. Samanam vriksham is the same tree. The same tree is here. Parishasva jate. They're both together in the same tree. Tayoho of those two birds. Tayoho of those two birds. Anyaha, other bird. Pippalam svadu atti. Swadu atti. Atti means eats. It eats swadu pippalam. It relishes the fruits of the tree. Pippalam, the fruit of the tree. It relishes the fruits of the tree. Now, anyaha, tayoho, of them, one bird eats the fruits of the, relishes the fruits of the tree. Anyaha, other bird, anashnanne, without eating, eating. You remember what form it is? Ashnati eats. Ashnan means shatru anta shabda, gachan sapan shvas, palapan visujan. Remember that word? Verse? Okay. Don't remember Gita? It's okay. Now, ashnan eating, anashnan without eating. Anyaha, tayoho anyaha, anashnan without eating, abhichakashiti. It watches like a witness, the other bird enjoying the fruits. This is the preparation for the next class. Now you come back to my next class. The two birds, one tree, same tree. Which means, what is the tree here? Your own physical body is the tree, which is part of the life of samsara. The body is always samsara. Know why? Only through the body. Body is an abode where the jiva can enjoy the karma, punya, papa, phalani, paradha, karma, phalam. You can't be wandering somewhere. You must have a proper abode to stay, to enjoy life. That is why body is said to be bhoga ayatanam, an abode of enjoyment. Without the gross physical form, going through the experience of paths of opposites is not possible at all. That is why assumption of physical body itself for experiencing pain and pleasure, for enjoying the paths of opposites, physical body is very important. That is why once the person leaves the physical body, until he assumes another body, the sukshma will be like how the person is in sleep. There's no enjoyment of pain and pleasure, experience of paths of opposites, until the person assumes another body and born again. That is why death is said to be a temporary freedom. Why? How every day in sleep, once the physical identity is not there, whenever the I sense is resolved, aham vrittihi, the knowledge of self-existence, I am, that knowledge obtaining in the form of thought resolves, then this deep sleep state, then there's no identity with the physical body. Even though the person is alive, even when the person is alive, when his identity is not with the physical body, there is no experience of pairs of opposites. There is no enjoyment of pain and pleasure. That is why sleep is a temporary freedom. Every day Bhagavan gives you some temporary freedom for few hours. Whoever is blessed with a good sleep, sound sleep, and they are really blessed. At least Bhagavan blesses them with the temporary freedom every day for some time. Okay. So Bhagavan blessed temporary freedom every day, few hours. Moksha. Temporary moksha, but not permanent. What happens? Paradha karma will wake you up next day morning. You cannot escape. You will be. Now, who wakes you up? Somebody suppose does not wake up. What does it mean? Paradha karma has. Oh, paradha karma is over. Does it mean that he can escape? No, he can have temporary freedom for some time, but there will be another abode of enjoyment ready for him in keeping with the punya papam. Is it? Again, in new mother's womb. That is why nobody can escape. So body is important for the exhaustion of punya papa. The physical body is very much karma phalam. Body itself is karma phalam. And why this body? That's karma phalam. Why not monkey's body? Karma phalam. So abode of enjoyment. And all subtle aspects are instruments of enjoyment, instruments of action, instruments of knowledge. And the internal instrument of knowledge, we have two instruments of knowledge, two sets. One is internal instrument of knowledge, mind. And then bahya karanani, external instruments of knowledge, sense organs. And the instruments of actions, five powers of organs of actions. And all the energy, five physiological functions. Amazing. Well set up. Beautiful setup here. And in that, with all these equipments required for exhaustion of punya papam, Bhagavan has sent us with what? Sukshma, stula, sukshma, karna, sharirani. And this is what? Upadhi. Jiva upadhi. This is the jiva upadhi. This body is upadhi. Mind is upadhi. Sense organs are upadis. Physiological functions are upadis. Why they are called upadis? Because all these upadis throw their limitations upon you, not really, falsely. So anything which transfers its limitation falsely, the false transference of limitations of one thing upon the other. And here, that which is responsible, that which throws or transfers its limitations falsely upon the Atma is called Upadhi. So that's why body, mind and complex is said to be Upadhi. Anyway, with these Upadhis, there is also Aham Buddhi, this knowledge of self-existence obtaining in the form of a thought which is not distinct, which is not distant, but distinct from all of them, which is very important for a human being. With all these things, we say there is a Jivatma. So consciousness identified with, associated with individual body, mind and complex, the Upadhis, is said to be Jivaha. And that Jiva is what now? Is appeared by one bird, which is busy eating fruits. Let it be eating fruits. We'll come back and see how fat the Jiva bird is going to be eating these fruits for 1 week. Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.